This week's Parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Reason for Lighting the Menorah. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of our Parsha this week, which talks about the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, and we'll discuss the philosophy, hopefully, of why this mitzvah is important and what's the relevance of this mitzvah to us. So we'll look at the basic approach of the Rishonim, and then some of the Midrashim hint to a deeper analysis, a deeper insight into the whole philosophy of the lighting of the menorah in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll start with source number one, the beginning of this week's Parsha. It says, in Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Chav, Ve'ata Tetzaveh Es Bnei Yisrael V'Yichu Elach Hashem En Zay Zoch Kasislam Or Lahalos Nir Tamid. So in the Torah says that you should command Bnei Yisrael to take this pure crushed olive oil and bring it to you in order to set up this continuous fire in the Mishkan. So this is going to be in the Mishkan, outside of the paroches, which covers the luchos. Aaron and his children will continuously burn and set up this burning fire from nighttime to morning before Hashem, and this should be a law for all generations. So in this week's Parsha, the beginning of the Parsha describes the mitzvah of lighting the menorah continuously every day in the Mishkan / Mikdash. And the question of our shir is, what's the reason for this? What's the philosophy of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah that Aaron and his children, the Kohanim, were to partake of and to be commanded in, and were commanded in? So what's the nature of this mitzvah? So if we look in the Gemara, in source number two, we'll start with the Gemara. It's interesting. It's based on this Pasuk. It's source number two is Menachos, Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Tzavis Bnei Yisrael V'Yichui Lecha Shem En Zay Zach. So our Parsha, the first Pasuk says, to take for you, or bring to you, this pure olive oil. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Eilecha V'Lo Li. So the first idea in the Gemara is, the Pasuk says, Eilecha, bring to you, meaning to Moshe, V'Lo Li, and not to me, meaning not to Hashem. Lo La'ora Nitzarech. So the first idea is that Hashem is describing that the Jewish people should take for you, and it's not for me. I don't need the light of the menorah. So the first idea is Eilecha is for you, not li, not for me. I don't need the light of the menorah. Lo la'ora nitzarech, I don't need its light. So the first idea the Gemara is explaining or expressing is that Hashem doesn't need the light of a menorah, and it's being expressed that way in the nature of the lashon of the pasuk. And then the Gemara keeps going on the same theme. And it says, Shulchan b'tzafon u'menorah b'darom. So in the construction of the Mishkan, in the Heichal, which was outside the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Shulchan, which held the Lechem Apanim, was in the north, and the menorah was in the south of the Heichal. Amar Rav Zreika, Amar Rav Elazar, lo la'achila nitzarech, v'lo la'ora nitzarech. So he's saying, the Gemara explains that he didn't need the table for food. Hashem doesn't need a table to provide him or to eat food from, nor does he need the menorah for light. And that's why they're separated from each other. Rashi says, look in source number three, Shulchan b'tzafon a menorah b'darom, v'hamizbeach bein sayim leida shalo la'ora nitzarech. So in the construction of the Heichal, the placement of the kelim in the Heichal were that the Shulchan was in the north side, the menorah was on the south, and the mizbeach hapnimi, the hazahav, the golden mizbeach, was in between them. And the Gemara is expressing that it's to show that Hashem doesn't need the light to eat from the table, because normally a person has light by their table so they can see their food. But in the Mishkan, the menorah was placed far away with something separating it from the table, the shulchan, in order to express the fact that Hashem doesn't need the table for food, nor does he need the light to see. There's no idea of corporeality, of physicality to God, and that's the idea of the placement of the menorah on the shulchan and the heichal. And the last idea is vayas labayis chalunesh gufim atumim, that they made for the house, for the Mishkan, for the Beis HaMikdash. This is actually the Beis HaMikdash. The windows were broader on the outside and narrower on the inside. Tana shkufin mibefnim atumim mibachutz lo la'ora nitzarech. And the last idea the Gemara is saying is that in the Mikdash, when the windows were constructed, they were constructed in a way where the narrow part of the window was on the inside, and it widened as it went outside. And the idea, look at Rashi, he says, Shkufim mibifnim, shamashkufin shel chalonos, hainu tsar shibacholon hayu mibifnim. The narrow aspects of the window were on the inside, varochav shibacholon muchsar klapichutz. But the wider aspect and the wider part of the window was outwards, lahotzi ora la'olam, in order to bring the light of the Mishkan outward. Whereas the Gemara says, lo la'ora anitzarach, I don't need light. So when you build a house and you want a maximum amount of light to come into your house, if there's any slant in your windows, you would want the wider aspects to be on the inside of the house and the thinner aspects on the outside. But by the Mikdash, it was the opposite. It was created in a way where there was a narrow aspect of the window on the inside of the Mikdash and the broader, wider aspect on the outside in order to express that Hashem does not need the light, and rather the light of Hashem goes outward, goes to the world. So the Gemara says three things. One is about, based on our Pasuk, it's about the menorah, that the fact that the Pasuk says Eilecha, which means for you and not for me, is showing you that he doesn't need the light. Then the Gemara says the fact that the menorah and the Shulchan are set up in a way where they're separated by the Mizbeach shows you that he doesn't need the light. Hashem doesn't need the light. And the last idea is in the construct of the windows of the Mikdash. They were done in a way where the wide part was on the outside of the Mikdash and the thinner part was on the inside to express the fact that there was no need for light in the inside of the Mikdash because Hashem doesn't need light, but it was for the outside. It was for the light of the Mikdash to exit outward. So the question on the Gemara is, why do we need to know this? Of course, Hashem doesn't need the light, and of course he doesn't need to see anything because he has no eyes. So why is this important? Why is this relevant in the discussion of the menorah and the setup and the mitzvah of lighting the menorah? Why is it important to know this concept? Why is it such a critical concept? That we know that Hashem doesn't need the light. Of course he doesn't need the light. It's obvious. Anybody who learns the Torah and who reads the Torah knows that Hashem is not physical. He doesn't need light. So why do we need to know this? So I think there's a deeper idea being hinted at by the fact that the Gemara is insistent on expressing that Hashem doesn't need light from the menorah. And the Torah Tzmima highlights it. So look in source number 4. The Torah Tzmima says as follows, Yesh Lomar, Habir al pi mashakasav b'sefer achinach. So he quotes the Chinach, the Sefer Achinach, b'tam mitzvah saneros. When the Chinach describes the mitzvah of lighting the candles, shehu lechavod ul siferes l'habayis. It's in order to create a house that is beloved and beautiful and respected. Ulekshia habayis nedar b'ma'or yeh lechavod l'Yisrael. So he says that when this house is full of light, it's a sign of kavod for Yisrael. It's a sign of respect for Klal Yisrael that you have a lit house all the time. Ukiyai gavna kasav bechinach b'tam inyan haketores shehu lahagdil kavod abayis shearecho nodev kemo b'armanos malachim. And the chinach says the same thing by the mitzvah of ketores, incense. It's in order to create a beautiful smell, so just like they have in palaces of kings. V'chin kasavnu b'parshas b'midbar. B'inan Hashomrim, there were also guards. The Leviim would guard the Mikdash. Shayu Shomrim b'Mikdash b'Yom of Alayla, Shehu mipnei Kavod Abayis. So the Chinuch wants to say that the idea of the lighting and the Ketores and the Shomrim is to demonstrate the greatness of this beautiful house, this beautiful palace, almost like a king's palace, has light all the time. It's always lit up. It smells good. It has people guarding it. The Mishkan is kind of like a palace for a king. V'ayin mashikasa b'samach ostes, v'zo klal inan adrasha zu eilecha, v'lo li, lo la'ora nitzarech. And that's the idea, he wants to say, of the Gemara teaching us that Hashem does not need the or, the light from the menorah. Klomar, ein ma'or zet sarach legufe, kadeshia or li kivyachol, ela eilecha l'chava l'Yisrael. So he wants to say that the idea is that it's not for God, but rather it's for the chvod Yisrael. So the Torah Tmima is teaching us that the reason why the Gemara has to tell us that the light is not for God is to highlight the other concept, the philosophy of Neros, as he quotes the Chinuch, which is that Neros are there in order to exemplify the greatness of this bias for Klal Yisrael. And as such, it's not the idea of it not being for God, but is to emphasize the idea of it being for Klal Yisrael, to demonstrate the greatness of Klal Yisrael. They have this great palace. They have this beautiful house. But The problem is, A, the chinuch doesn't really, the Torah Tzmiva doesn't really quote the chinuch the way I was learning the chinuch. And also, still, it still doesn't, it kind of, this answer kind of leaves us off with a little, I want a little more in terms of how to explain why the Gemara is so insistent on teaching us that the or of the menorah, the light of the menorah, is not really for Hashem. So we have to try to explain it a little bit deeper. So the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam, and I believe the Chinuch says similar, so I don't know where the Torah Tumima gets this, but the Rambam says, when he explains the mitzvah of menorah and the philosophy in source number 5, in the Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel Perek Mem Hei, V'achakach Hushama Menorah Lefanov, Hushama Menorah Lefanov, afterwards they placed the menorah in the Mishkan, L'chavod L'siferes L'bayis. So he says, similar to the Torah Tumima's quote of the Chinuch, that it's in order to bring respect and wonder to the bias, to the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Ki habayis shedulik bo haner tamid hanistar beparoches yeshlo benefesh mala gedola. So when you have a house that has this light that's always lit, but it's hidden, it creates an impression on man, on the soul of man, a great impression. Ukvar yudas chizuk ha-Torah be'emunas gedolos ha-Mikdash v'yiraso. The Torah places a great strength and emphasis on the yira, the fear and the awe of created in the Mikdash, ad she yagil adam midas ha'anava, the hachemla, and it should create a sort of humility and a mercy, v'rachlos halevav kishir ehu, and it should create soft-heartedness when you see the Mikdash. V'amar Mikdashi tiro, it also says that my Mikdash you should fear, be in awe of. V'samchu b'shmir shabbos l'chazik yiras ha'mikdash. So they tie in the yiras ha'mikdash to the idea of keeping Shabbos. So the Rambam explains that, similar to the Chinuch, that the philosophy of Neiros is in order to create a beautiful bias, a beautiful Beis HaMikdash, L'chavro L'siferes, and a house that's lit, it's a sign of respect, a sign of glory, if a house is always lit. But he also adds that the purpose is to create a certain impression on man, and that's why the Torah emphasizes Yiras HaMikdash, having fear and awe of Mikdash, that when you enter the Mikdash, it should have an impact on you, it should have a certain emotional impact on you, that you should be in awe of it. And thus, I believe it should lead you to relating to Hashem in the Mikdash in the proper way. So the Mikdash is really a means of giving man a sense of awe and humility in the face of God, Lifnei Hashem. And the Mikdash is supposed to do that through all these different physical reminders or physical aspects, like the menorah, the shulchan. All these kalim are meant, according to the Rambam, to create a certain effect in man, that when they see it, when man sees it, so he feels, he's in awe, and he feels a certain emotional humility in the face of Mikdash. So I think with this explanation, we can understand why the Gemara highlights the idea that Hashem doesn't need the aura of the menorah. So I think it's obvious, of course, Hashem's not physical, but I think that there's this duality in Mikdash and in Mishkan, which is that on the one hand, the purpose of Mikdash is to utilize man's emotions to face God or to prepare for God properly and be in the presence of Hashem properly. And the only way to do that is to somewhat utilize the normal idea that a person feels when they see a king's palace or when they see a physical building that's beautiful. So you can't really, it's difficult to create or to have those emotions without any physicality. So you need physicality. Man needs physicality in order to engage and to facilitate and to initiate those emotions of awe and almost as if Hashem were a physical king. But on the other hand, the idea is that obviously Hashem is not corporeal. He's not physical. So there's this duality in the Mishkan that on the one hand, the purpose of the menorah is to facilitate the same emotions a person would feel if they were approaching a kingdom or a palace that was lit all the time. It's the beauty of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash is to elicit those emotions. But on the other hand, the idea is that those emotions lead a person to an idea, to a false idea of God. So built into the construction of the menorah and the mitzvah of lighting the candles is the idea of lola ora nitzarech, is the idea that even though we need to elicit the emotions of man by using the physical and by almost imitating the palaces of the great kings, on the other hand, the very construct of the mitzvah menorah is there to counteract the end goal of those emotions, or the ending result of those emotions, is a certain image of God or a certain idea that God is great in a physical terms. So the menorah is the perfect conduit for both ideas. On the one hand, the menorah is supposed to elicit the emotions of respect and greatness and humility in the face of God. But on the other hand, because it's a physical kli and it's a physical utensil, it could lead man to the wrong idea of Hashem. It could lead man to an idea of Hashem like a king, like a human king. So therefore, the Torah and the Gemara is trying to teach us that the Mishkan was built, the Beis HaMikdash was built in a way where it would do both. It would elicit the emotions, but on the other hand, it would contrast the idea that Hashem is physical. And so that's why the Gemara has to teach us this, because the natural emotions of a person when they go into the Mikdash and see all these things would lead them to an Avodah Zarah idea, naturally, if not for the way that it was constructed and the fact that the Torah is so specific in showing or demonstrating that it's not there for any physical purpose. So it's like this, there's two things going on here. On the one hand, man has to relate to Hashem through this physical in order to elicit the proper emotions. But on the other hand, man has to know that God is not like you, he's not a human king and he's not physical and he doesn't need these things. So that's why you have both. So I'd say that's the philosophy. The most basic idea of the philosophy of the menorah is to enhance the kavod and tiferes of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash as an idea of a palace of God. But on the other hand, it's to give us this true knowledge or this true idea, this truer concept that Hashem isn't physical. Okay, so that's the first idea. But then the Gemara keeps going in Menachos, and it gives us another idea about the philosophy of the mitzvah of menorah, of lighting the menorah, and this one's a little more difficult. So if you look in source number 6, the Gemara Menachos, Staf Pevav Amabez, continues. Michutz la paroches ha'idus be'ol moed. So where was the menorah? It was outside the paroches, the covering of the Eidos, which is a sign or a language of the Luchos, which is the Aron, which is, by the way, a proof for Shir that I gave last week. One of the ideas I wanted to say is that the Aron is essentially the Eidos, the Luchos. And you see that the Torah refers to the Luchos, to the Aron as Eidos, and that's the essence of the Aron. It's really the Eidos, the Luchos. But anyways, the Gemara says as follows, Eidos hu l'chol bai olam shashchina shor b'Yisrael. So the Gemara learns a different limud. It says, why does it say paroches ha'edus, that you light the menorah outside the paroches that covers the edus? Because it's trying to teach you that lighting the menorah is a sign, is a testimony to the whole world that the Shechina, that the divine presence, Ishora, resides be Yisrael, within Yisrael. V'im tomar, la'ora nitzarech, if you want to say that I need the light, again, the Gemara says, maybe you'll think that, Hashem provided the light for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar with the fire that led them. So Ella Edus hi l'chol bay olam shashchina shor b'Yisrael. But rather, it's not that Hashem needs a light. Again, he says that, but it's trying to function as a testimony. Lighting the menorah is a testimony that Hashem dwells amongst Klal Yisrael. So what is the testimony? May I do so? So the Gemara says Amarava zen ner maravi. This is the Western candle. Shenosden ba shemen keneged chavruseha. So they would give an equal amount of oil to the Ner Maravi. Umimena haya madlik ubahaya mesayim. And from it they would light all the other candles, and it lasted the longest. It lasted beyond all the other candles. So there was a miracle, somewhat, a breach of the laws, the normal laws of nature, by the menorah, which was that there was this Ner Maravi, which was the Ner, the candle, that was a little bit more towards the west, towards the Aron, and it was sticking out a little bit. And this middle candle that was Ner Maravi, that was a little outwards towards the Aron, so this candle was the, they put in the same amount of oil in that Ner Maravi as all the other candles, and yet they lit all the other candles from it, and it lasted longer. So you would think that some of the oil would be used up in this process of lighting, and therefore it should last shorter. It should be blown out, or it should go out earlier than all the other candles, but it didn't. It lasted longer. So this was a miracle. Somehow this is the testimony so that Hashem dwells amongst Klal Yisrael. So we have to understand this. What is this idea? What's the concept that this miracle, that the Ner Maravi lasted longer than all the other Neros, despite the fact that it had the same amount of oil, What does it indicate about Hashem dwelling amongst Klal Yisrael? Why is this the miracle that's chosen? And what is it about this miracle that teaches us this fundamental concept that Hashem and His Shechina dwell within Klal Yisrael, within the Beis HaMikdash? So what is this idea? What is this miracle? By the way, if anybody has their mute buttons on, it's a little staticky. So if you could put your mute buttons on, that would be amazing. Thank you. All right. So Rashi explains what this means. He says, "Acheros umimena hayamadlik." So from the Ner Maravi, you would light all the others. "Acheros ubayam esayim," and with it, you would finish. It would be the last Ner that was lit. "Kedisnan bo matzah shtei Neros mizrachios dolkim shemenora haiso umedes mizrach umarav mechabe achas shebetzad mizrach umidashna uminiach achas shebetzad osa shebemizrach." So in the morning, there were two candles that remained lit. They would, one of them, the one, not the Ner Maravi, they would blow out, but the other one they would leave. Hu Ner Maravi, Umanicha Dolekes Ad La'erev. They would let it last lit until the evening. Umadlik Hacheros, Shekavu B'Shachar. And they would use it to light all the other ones that were blown out in the morning. Umetivo V'Zorek Mashinishar Min HaShemen. And then they would clean it out. Uminapsila L'Chutz. V'Nosin B'Shemen Upsila Umadlika K'dei L'Kayim B'Mitzvah Sadlaka. And then they would relight the Ner Maravi. After all the Neros. So Rashi is explaining this idea that the Ner Maravi lasted longer than all the other Neros, and they would let it stay lit for longer, and it was a miracle, and this is the testimony that Hashem dwells amongst Klal Yisrael. So again, the question is, why? What's the idea, what's the concept that the Ner Maravi lasting longer and yet having the same amount of oil, why is that miracle a testimony to the idea that Hashem dwells amongst Klal Yisrael? And furthermore, just to strengthen this, there's two other examples of this type of miracle. So one is in the Medrash, in source number 8. The Medrash says like this, Amar Chanina Skana Kohanim, Ani Yisi Meshamesh Beveis HaMikdash, Umasa Nisim Haya Bemenora. So this Rav Chanina, who is the Skana Kohanim, he was the second in command. So he would work in the Beis HaMikdash, and he saw all these miracles occurred by the menorah. Shayu madlikin osa b'rosh hashana, v'lo haysa miskabe ad hashana acheres. So they would light it b'rosh hashana, and it would last the whole year. U'pam achas lo asu azesim shemen. One time, the zesim didn't make any oil. V'yashvu lehem hakohanim v'pachi nefesh, and the kohanim were disappointed. The Amar Rav Chanina, Segen HaKohanim, Ani Yisi B'Beis HaMikdash, U'matzasi Yis HaMenorah, Deleika Yosur, Mimasha Haisa Deleika, Shar Kol Yomos Hashana. So he said that he saw it, despite the fact that the Zesim, the olives weren't creating oil, he saw that it was lit, and it was lit even longer than normal. Ra'ab Masa Nisim, he saw a lot of miracles. L'chach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Kohanim Heim Yadliku Es HaMenorah, U'me'ori Tadlik HaMenorah. So Hashem says, the Kohanim light the menorah, and Hashem, from his or, he lights the menorah. So the Medrash says that there was all these miracles that occurred by the menorah, but the menorah, a lot of the miracles are that it lasted longer, it existed, even though they didn't think it would last long, and that seems to be a very common theme. You see that in the Gemara, the Ner Maravi lasted longer than all the other Neros, despite the fact that there wasn't enough oil for it to last that long. And the Medrash says that they would light the candles on Rosh Hashanah and it'll last the whole year. So it's the same type of miracle. It's the same class of miracles where by the menorah, there's a similar theme. You put in a certain amount of oil and it lasts longer than you expect. And we see this in one other place also. And where is that? Famous by Chanukah. Look in source number 9. Source number 9 says in Hilchos Megillah of Chanukah, Perek Gimel Lecha Beis, it says, "Ukshagavru Yisrael aloivam ba'avdum b'chamisha v'esrim b'chodesh kislev." On the 25th of Kislev, when the Jews were successful, haya v'nichnasu lehechal, they went into the heichal v'lo matu shemen tar. They didn't find any pure olive oil, b'mekdash elapach echad, only one jar. V'lo haya bo lahadlek el yom echad bilvad. It could only last one night, one day. V'liku mimenu neros hamarach l'shmoni yomim ad shekashu zesim otu shemen tar. But rather, it lasted, 8 days. And until they had enough time to establish or to get more olive oil. So of course we celebrate Chanukah to recognize this miracle, but it's always the same type of miracle with menorah. It's this miracle where you put in a small amount of shemen and it lasts longer than you expect. And that seems to be the miracle of the Ner Maravi, which is an essential idea in the philosophy of the menorah that the Gemara explains, that it's edus, it's a testimony that Hashem dwells amongst Klal Yisrael. So what exactly is this idea? You know, why is this miracle always so prevalent by the menorah that we saw it in the Medrash, that they used to light it by Rosh Hashanah, it would last a whole year. We see it in the Gemara, the Ner Maravi lasted longer, even though it shouldn't have. And we see it in the Rambam by Hilchos Chanukah, that it's based on the nis that happened by Chanukah, that they found one pach of shemen and it lasted longer than they expected. So what is this? What is so special about this type of miracle? And why does it indicate that Hashem dwells amongst Klal Yisrael? Those are the questions. Okay? So I want to try and answer. I didn't see this in the Rishonim, but this is my own answer, but it's based on a Rashi that I remembered, and I'll try to explain it. So in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph, source number 10, there's a famous story that Moshe was having trouble keeping the leadership of Klal Yisrael. He didn't really want to have the burden of the people on him. He was asking for help from Hashem. So Hashem says that there are 70 individuals. This is the whole story of Eldad and Medad. He says there are 70 individuals that are going to take the burden of Klal Yisrael from upon you. And there was this miraculous event in the Mikdash. So look in the sources, in source number 10. It's Bamidbar Perek Yud Aleph. It says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Esfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael, asher yadata kihem zikne am b'shotra, v'lekachta osam el omoed, v'tziyatvu sham imach. So Hashem says to Moshe, take 70 elders who are the shotra, the policemen of the nation, and bring them to the Mishkan. V'yaradti v'dibarti imcha sham, v'atzalti min aruach asher alecha, v'samti aleem, v'nosu itach b'masa am v'losisa atal v'adecha. So Hashem says he's going to come down and he's going to draw upon the force of Moshe, the Ruach, the Nevuah of Moshe, and he's going to place it on these individuals, and therefore they're going to take some of the burden of Klal Yisrael from upon Moshe and place it upon themselves. So there's some weird thing going on here where Hashem somehow takes some ideas of Moshe or aspects of Moshe and he places it upon these people, upon these individuals, in order that Moshe be spared of this tremendous burden, this tremendous stress of leading Klal Yisrael. So Rashi over there says an interesting idea that I've heard many drushos on, Shabbos drushos. And source number 11, he says, V'samti alehem, lama Moshe dome ba'osasha. What was Moshe similar to in that moment when this ruach, this spirit, was taken from Moshe and placed on these individuals? Lener shemunach agabe menorah. It was similar to a ner, a candle that's placed on a menorah, a lamp. V'akol malikin heimenu. All this light is taken from this candle and this lamp. Vein oro chaser klum. But its or isn't lacking. Meaning that when you take light off of a candle, so you don't really see or sense any diminishment in the candle that you took the light from. And it's the same thing by Moshe. Moshe, even though Moshe's ruach was being spread amongst the Shivim Zakenim, the idea was that Moshe wasn't lacking in any sense. It wasn't an idea of a diminishment of Moshe. Just like a candle, when you take fire from a candle, you don't see any diminishment in the candle that you took the fire from. So too, by Moshe, when you take fire from Moshe, or when you take the ruach of Moshe, there's no diminishment in Moshe's abilities. It's only the idea of passing on some of his characteristics, his midos, to these individuals. So that got me thinking about a possibility for why this is the miracle that's so prevalent and what the Gemara means that it's edus. So there's a principle, there's a most fundamental principle in the Rambam, in the very beginning of the Yad, and it's famous. He talks about the primacy of Hashem's existence. And he says as follows, in Halacha Aleph, Yisodei Torah Aleph Aleph, I'll just read through these three halachos. Yisodei Yisodos V'amad HaChachmos Leda Sheyesham Matzi Rishon. So the foundation of foundations, the pillar of wisdom, is to know that there is a first existence. V'hu Mamzi Kol Nimtza. So he's responsible, his existence is responsible for all existences. V'chol nimtzoi mishamayim v'aretz, u'mash b'neihem, lo nimtzu elam amita simata. And there's no existence to all these other things, shamayim, the heavens, the earth, without the truth of his existence, of Hashem's existence. V'im yale al hadas, shehu eno matzoi, ein davar acher yachol himatos. So if you think that that he doesn't exist, nothing else can exist. Vim yala aladash ein kol nimtzayim levado mitzuyim hu levado yeh matzoy. So if everything else doesn't exist, he will still exist. Hashem, he's not dependent on that which he created. Velo yivatzel hu liv tulam. So he's not nullified to them. Shekol nimtzayim tzrichin lo. Everything needs him. Vehu baruch hu eino tzarech lehem velo le'echan mehem. But Hashem doesn't need his creatures at all. Ein amitaso kamitas echan mehem. Lefichach ein amitaso kamitas echan mehem. Therefore, God's reality or truth is not like the truth or the permanence of the worlds. So the idea of the Rambam, one of the most essential ideas, is that God's existence is the first existence, and also that everything is dependent on him and he's not dependent on anything else. And if everything else didn't exist, Hashem would still exist. But if Hashem didn't exist, then everything else would cease to exist. So the Rambam talks about the most fundamental idea in our concept of God, of Hashem. And I was thinking about this idea in relation to the menorah and the idea of the Rashi. So Rashi explains that one of the principles of lighting off a menorah is the idea that you don't see any diminishment in the menorah. And the idea of the Ner Ma'aravi perhaps lasting longer than all the other Neros is the concept that the Ner Ma'aravi was really facing the Aron. It was really close to the Aron, and it's to express this concept of Hashem. That Hashem exists beyond, or Hashem's existence is independent of the existences that come from him, meaning the Ner Ma'aravi is the idea of the prime existence, and all the other Neros are really taking from Hashem, taking from that Ner Ma'aravi, and they only exist because of the Ner Ma'aravi. And the idea that it lasts longer, lasts beyond the others, is that it's not diminished by them, nor does its existence tied or dependent on their existence. So it lasts longer, it's eternal almost. It's all the time, the Ner Ma'aravi. So its eternal nature, even though it's physical, is trying to express or trying to reflect on these ideas about Hashem, I think. So I think that that's the idea of the menorah, the miracle of the menorah. The miracle of the menorah expresses the idea of the Shekhinah dwelling amongst Klal Yisrael. What that means is that the miracle of the menorah emphasizes these ideas about Hashem. That Hashem is, just like you wouldn't expect the amount of oil to last longer, the idea is that Hashem, he's eternal, and his existence is eternal. It lasts longer, so to speak. Obviously, Hashem is not bound by time, but relative to man, he is more permanent. And the idea is that we all get lit. The menorah and the candles are lit off of the Ner Ma'aravi. So the idea is our existence is really dependent on the existence of Hashem, the Ner Ma'aravi. But the Ner Ma'aravi is unique. Its existence lasts longer, so to speak. It's eternal. So I think that it's not symbolic, but I think that just like we said before, the menorah is supposed to elicit certain emotions in man. So too, the ideas of the menorah are supposed to tie man to this concept of God. They're supposed to tie man to the concept that God is the primary existence, and our existences don't diminish from him, and we can't diminish from him. So if we didn't exist, there would be no bittul of him. There would be no diminishment of him, and our existence doesn't take away from him at all. And just like we saw by Moshe Rabbeinu, the idea that Rashi, the analogy that Rashi, the concept that he says is that Moshe wasn't diminished by the fact that the Ruach of Moshe appealed or approached the other people. So too, that concept or that image is an idea that seems to be prominent in man's mind. So I want to say that the menorah and the mikdash, one of the deeper philosophical insights is that the menorah and the mikdash demonstrates to us a unique idea about Hashem. And that's what it means that the Shekhinah is Shor B'Yisrael. It's that the menorah gives us an opportunity to really recognize the existence of God. And the Shekhinah, whenever we say the Shekhinah is there, it doesn't mean a physical idea, but it means that there's an opportunity for us, a greater opportunity than would have been without it, for us to understand and gain insight into Hashem. And the menorah is that. The menorah is edus that the Shekhinah shora, meaning the menorah teaches us about this fundamental principle about Hashem, and it gives us this insight by giving us this imagery and showing us these miracles. It gives us this insight into Hashem's nature, that the nature of Hashem is qualitatively different than any creature that he created. And that's expressed in this type of miracle, the miracle of the menorah. So I think that's why it's edus to the idea of Shekhinah being Shora. It means that it really demonstrates, or it's really giving us insight into a deeper idea or a deeper analysis of God's existence. and we see it. Sometimes you need imagery, or you need to see something in order for the idea to really be internalized, in order for the idea to really be emphasized in your mind. So the menorah is there in order to give us this possibility of seeing this insight, seeing this analysis of Hashem's primacy of his existence and the idea that he is in no way dependent on our existence. So I was thinking that that perhaps is the philosophy, and that's why the menorah functions as such a powerful testimony to the presence of God amongst Yisrael. It means that it provides us with a testimony because it gives us this insight about the concept, the deep concept of God's existence and the way God exists relative to man and relative to his creatures. So one other point based on this, if this is the idea of menorah, if this possibility is true, so there's a famous Gemara later on. Look in source number 14. Sorry, not Gemara, actually. It's the Torah. The Torah talks about when the Mishkan was being established, all the Nesiim brought various korbanos and gifts to the Mishkan. And the Torah says that Shevet Levi never brought a gift. And Rashi over there in source number 14 says in Baal Uscha, it's Parshas Baal Uscha, Lama Nismecha Parshas HaMenorah LaParshas HaNesiim. So why was the Parsha of the Menorah tied together to the Parsha of the Nesiim? Lefi Kishara Aaron Chanukas HaNesiim Chalsha Daito Shaloya Imahem B'Chanukah. So Aaron was upset. He was weak because he wasn't included in the establishment of the Mishkan. Lo hu v'lo shvato, not him and his shevet. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chayecha, by your life, shalcha gedola mishalahem. So you're going to get more than them. Sha'ata madlik umeitev v'saneros, because you're going to be involved in the lighting and the cleaning up of the neros of the menorah. So the Medrash also says the same thing, but Rashi says that Aaron was upset that he couldn't be involved in the Chanukas HaMishkan, in the establishment of the Mishkan. And Hashem says to him, don't be so upset, you're going to get to light the menorah. And you're going to get to do it every day. So what exactly is the comparison between the menorah, the lighting of the menorah, and the idea of the Chanukas HaMishkan? So why are they compared, and why is the lighting of the menorah greater than the Chanukah? So I think the idea is tied to the concept I just mentioned, which is that the main idea of the menorah is really to highlight these essential concepts in the existence of God and how he's different than man. And the Chanukas HaMizbeach, the Chanukas HaMishkan was an idea of establishing the Mishkan as this makom of that was supposed to bring man closer to God. But the menorah was greater than the Chanukah. Why? Because the menorah is the idea, is somewhat similar. It's the idea that every day, every morning and night, the menorah is the idea of setting up the Mishkan with the concept of God's, the primacy of God's existence. So really, the Chanukah was a one-time event. It was really the establishment of the Mishkan as a makom, as a bias, as a makom that really expresses the ideas and the concepts of the uniqueness of Hashem, of our God. But Aaron's involvement in menorah was far greater, because on a daily basis, the menorah was meant to establish and to set up the Mishkan with this primary idea, with this concept that Hashem's existence is really primary and not dependent on our existence, and that his existence is not lacking at all, and we cannot have an effect on his existence. So that idea, those ideas which are most essential, most primary, were really expressed in the lighting of the menorah on a daily basis. And Aaron was privy to doing this on a daily basis, was privy to almost consecrating, establishing the Mishkan on a daily basis with this idea of Hashem, with this essential primary idea of God, as opposed to the Chanukah, which was a one-time event. Aaron got to do it on a daily basis. He got to set up the Mishkan every day with the idea, with this essential idea, with this essential component. So it's true that the Nesiim and all the Shvatim were involved in the establishment of the Mishkan as a makom to teach about the uniqueness of Hashem, but Aaron on a daily basis taught the world and taught Klal Yisrael and gave insight into this idea that Hashem is primary and that his existence is primary. So I think that's why the two are compared, and Aaron was given this chus, this merit. But that's why it's somewhat similar to the Chanukah, because this, in essence, is a Chanukah on a daily basis. It's a establishment of the Mikdash and the Mishkan on a daily basis. All right, so I just want to conclude. So really, there's not so many ideas. It's really just three ideas. The first point was the basic philosophy that the purpose of the lighting of the menorah is, on the one hand, to show or demonstrate the glory of the bias of the almost like a palace, but on the other hand, we're supposed to elicit these emotions in man, but not lead us to a wrong idea of Hashem, to a physical idea of Hashem. So therefore, in the construct of the mitzvah and the placement of the menorah, it's clear that it's lo la'ora nitzarech. Hashem doesn't want it or need it for himself. So there's this duality to Mishkan. On the one hand, man needs physicality in order to elicit certain ideas and emotions. But on the other hand, we can't allow that physicality to lead us to an improper idea of Hashem. And that's why the very nature of the mitzvah was created in a way where it would contrast that. And then the second idea is, why is this miracle of lasting longer, of the oil lasting longer and the fire lasting longer, and the idea of the Ner Moravi, that everything was lit from it, why are those ideas so important and so integral to the Eidos that Hashem is Shora amongst Klal Yisrael? So I was saying, based on a Rashi by Eldad and Medad, by the story of Moshe, that it says that Moshe wasn't diminished as a result of all the other people getting this type of nevuah or ruach. And I think that the same idea exists in the menorah, that it's lo la'ora nitzarech, but it's not for God, but it's trying to teach us an idea about Hashem, which is that idea that Hashem, his existence is primary, and all the other candles which were lit off the Ner Maravi, so they all went out before the Ner Maravi, meaning Hashem's existence is primary and it's not dependent on all the other existences. And the idea that Hashem isn't diminished either by the other existences is also present in the imagery of the menorah. And that imagery is highlighted in the Rashi in Bamidbar. So I think that imagery is, people relate to the menorah in this way. They think about these points, these concepts. So these concepts should be drawn into an idea of God. And it teaches us these ideas that the Rama mentions in Yisodei Torah about Hashem. And the last idea was Aaron, that Aaron was upset about the Chanukah, that he wasn't a participant, but Hashem is teaching him that lighting the menorah is greater. Why is it greater? Because the Chanukah was a one-time event to set up the Mishkan on the basis that our God is unique, and to teach those ideas to the world. Whereas Aaron's activity was on a daily basis, and his activity was to establish the basis of the Mishkan on a daily basis on these ideas, on these deep thoughts, deep analysis of Hashem's of the existence of Hashem as a in a prime way. So that was really the consecration of the Mikdash on the Mishkan on a daily basis. So that's why Aaron was privy to this type of activity. All right. So everyone, thank you. And any questions on the share? Anyone want to add anything?
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.